Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Anyone who loves playing baseball or softball knows that one of the first steps in that journey is breaking in your first glove. It's where your love of the game began. Where does your child's baseball or softball journey begin? Go to playball.org to get started. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Jeffrey Wright and Company. My name is Jeffrey Wright. You can follow me on Twitter, on X, at JWright929ESPN. As always, you can listen on the radio, dial 92.9 FM or 680 AM. But if you're away from the radio and you want to stay up to date and listen to everything happening here at the station, you can do so by downloading the Odyssey app. Free to download, free to listen. You can stream anytime, anywhere. You can even listen on demand. George Ruggiero is the producer of the program. You can follow him on Twitter, on X, at KingGeorge94. George, good day, sir.
Good day to you. Have you been staying dry these last couple days?
Not particularly, although today I had a well-executed opening the umbrella as you're going through the door with kid in hand. Ooh. It was pretty seamless. It was great to see. My company, as he is every Tuesday and Friday, although this week it'll be Tuesday and Thursday, of course, the host of VSiN's College Football, College Basketball Betting Podcast, the VSiN Betting Tailgate Show, Saturdays at 9 a.m. Check your local listings, VSiN Primetime. Download the VSiN Watch app. Tim, good day, sir.
Howdy, sir. Yeah, hopefully it will be a good day. I was a little lost yesterday with no postseason activities on the schedule. I had to watch baseball.
So I was trying to figure this out. Also, quick shout out to MLB Network. I don't know if it was scheduled or whatnot, but at least they put their version of Red Zone on.
Yeah, I saw that.
That was nice to have. I mean, of course, you're sitting in the studio. You've got everything in front of you, but I appreciated that. Were they saving? Had there been a game 7? Is that why we had nothing? Monday was blocked for the game 7.
Celtics-Knicks was game 7. It was supposed to be Monday night. And then if the Panthers didn't win by... No, that was a game 7. If the Oilers...
Winnipeg,
the Stars and
Winnipeg
Jets.
Winnipeg Jets,
good God. Yes, I'll get it right.
Had that gone to a game 7? Because I was not expecting... I very much enjoy watching Welcome to Wrexham. I was not expecting to turn on ESPN last night and see Welcome to Wrexham.
But my wife
also yelled at me to not watch because it's like one of the. Here's a tip, George. If you ever get married, if you actually find a show that both of you like, you have to cling on to it like there's no tomorrow. Like that's because both, especially in my set of circumstances where I dominate the TVs. Oh, had this nice moment, Tim, happen. My daughter tried to get 2 TVs over the weekend. She wanted 2 screens.
Wow.
She wanted Elmo and Bluey.
Man, proud day.
Absolutely not. I was like, there's still multiple games on. You will not be doing that. But there's when most of your television viewing experience in the household is dominated by someone watching every game that he can, the moments that you can actually watch something, like she has, like, and she likes Welcome to Wrexham too, so I had to I was unable to watch the episode they put on ESPN, even though it's available on Hulu.
Yeah, it is. It's a challenge in our household to find series that we enjoy together. And then the problem is when you're, if you're into a series, I don't know if you fall into this, and your spouse is into that series as well, and you've got a moment to yourself. Like, I was solo dad this weekend, and we were watching something on Netflix. I'm like, ah, really want to finish this, but can't.
No, yep, definitely.
Don't want to get in trouble. Don't want to fight that fight.
You can't jump ahead. But then there's also, have you had this situation where you both start watching a show, you liked it both initially? I ran into this with White Lotus. I thought this season of White Lotus was boring, and I couldn't, like, I hated it. But my wife's super into it, like, to the level of, like, listening to podcasts. Like, she's deep into, like, the theories of it. There's just nothing worse. And then you're just sitting there like, man, I got, like, 7 weeks of this, and it's, like, an hour and a half. And it's Sunday night, and it's, like, I'm not into this.
You just punt on it. Like, ah, you're
well, no,
good.
She's still this super into it. Like,
well, you know, she can watch it.
Yeah.
And you can catch up later. I actually, it's a funny thing about White Lotus was I didn't watch the first two seasons. I was like, I'm not interested. And then she started watching season three, and I was like, oh, what is this? And then I had to go back and catch up, and I watched all two seasons in very fast time.
You don't need, like, there are some plot points that carry over, but you really
need it. You needed to this season.
This season you did because there was more connections. But
season,
like,
one and two, I think you could have got away watching season two and not watching season one. You needed to watch seasons one specifically, but one and two for season three.
Because really the only tie over to season two was Stifler's mom.
Yeah. And you could have gotten away with it. Yeah, I think you could have. I think you could have watched season two without watching season one. That's why I think my wife initially said, oh, you don't really need to watch the first couple seasons. And then when the moment at dinner happened, I think we're at the point of, you know, we can tell you what happens. But yes, when the recognition of the masseuse to the bald dude happened, it was like, oh, yeah, you need to go back and watch the
I guess that's true. There's more tie-ins. All right, let's talk about what we got coming up on the program. I've had a couple of thoughts of, what are we doing here? And there's a couple of stories that I want to discuss with you. Next segment, Tim mentioned yesterday on X, the Everything app, it's all happening on X, that we do finally have some G5 win totals, including Memphis's. We don't have prices to win the leagues yet, right?
No, we do.
Okay, so I want to go over.
DraftKings has everything. DraftKings has all 136 teams, and they have futures for the conference. So they've got pretty much everything. Memphis plus 550, the fourth shot to win the AAC this year.
All right, so they will be behind Tulane.
Yep. Tulane's the favorite.
Is it Tulane and then the academies?
Yep, good call. Navy plus 350, Army plus 450, Memphis plus 550.
And, I mean, Memphis is going to be starting a brand new quarterback.
That's likely
a true freshman, or a true freshman will play a lot. So we'll get into that during the next segment. Also, ESPN has ranked QB tiers. I like David Hale. I don't like ranking the whole QB rooms. Feels like a cop-out.
I mean, does that mean, like, Auburn has one of the best QB rooms because they've got a P4 starter as their backup in Ashton Daniels?
And also they have...
Well, they've got a five-star
freshman.
So they
freshman. Got Jackson Dart, or not Jackson Dart. They have Jackson Arnold. Yep. They have Deuce
Ashton
Knight.
Daniels from Ashton Daniels from Stanford. And
correct.
Then Deuce Knight, the five-star. So, yeah, I mean, Auburn, in theory, has a pretty badass room, but they also might not have a badass starter, even though I think you're high on Jackson Arnold this year.
I don't think he was the problem at OU. And I don't think this is the upgrade that everyone thinks it's going to be. But that's why we play the games. Well, so we'll talk a little bit about that. Also, we'll get into the list. Tim's got a commitment, so he'll bail on us at about 3:30. George and I will chat a little bit. We'll tell your story.
Second grade wrapping up, baby.
I mean, there's nothing worse. This is because Hurd's daughter, I think, is about third grade. Don't quote me on that. And he's just like, this week is so worthless.
When is school over this week for you guys? Do you know?
George,
I know you don't have a kid.
So I'm in daycare at all times.
Yeah, you're good. You're 365. You're 52
correct.
Weeks a year. So, yeah.
the other problem is they keep moving the calendar up. We used to have it really clean. There was a county school system and a city school system, and those were basically the only two calendars you needed to know. Now we have private schools starting differently. We have suburb schools starting differently. I think they still have another week.
I want to say, for at least a lot of them, for what it's worth, my sister's a teacher, so I'm kind of just locked in on where she teaches, and that is not in Tennessee, which that's probably going to get pushed a little bit because of some weather damage.
Yeah, we're going through it. We got more severe weather coming.
3 days of tornadoes. Let's go.
Ooh. Yeah, not great. He's gonna bounce on us to go honor a second grader,
as he should. Respectfully.
Respect. I can't wait to look.
You'll be there.
Okay, so I fundamentally understand it is fun online to joke about Tennessee getting booted from the SEC. I really think, though, everyone is really missing the point on Dellinger's last story. And this would be my largest point. Tim, they are so desperate. They have officially gone to mob rules. If you don't sign up, you're out. Watch your back. So for the timeline, think about it in these terms. All right, the schools and the NCAA, in order to keep things in order, we go to the courts, we win, we move on, you don't like it, ha ha ha, you're a member, you voted to be in this, you agreed to be here. All right, then they start losing in court. Then that ramps up, well, we got to go to Congress. Got to go to Congress. And they've spent millions and millions of dollars trying to get legislature that has never happened and not even gotten relatively close. All right, in the last couple of weeks, all right, that's not going anywhere. Let's go to Trump. Let's start a commission. Let's go to Trump. I don't know what they're supposed to do. Do they want executive orders? Good luck on that. That's really not going anywhere. So now we have gotten to the point where the power schools have basically said, even if your state's NIL laws supersede our NIL laws, you have to sign this piece of paper saying that you will not agree to that and you can't sue us. They're handing out NDAs. And this is the real question that I have. Do these people not have attorneys? Like, who's coming up with these ideas? Because the only answer that makes any sense to me is they have now reached the point where we've been knowing that they've been getting desperate and desperate and desperate. But this to me is the point at which you say, oh my God, they're already like, they're doing a cannonball into the deep end of desperation. And because I think about it in these terms, Ross's story cites the Tennessee law. And to be clear for Memphis fans, Memphis can take advantage of this too. But I know Mississippi already has NIL laws. Florida has them. I believe Texas does. Arkansas's got some on the ballots. What's to stop these schools from just going, no? You going to kick all of them out? Like, there is no league without them. What are we actually doing here?
I don't fully understand what the hell is going on, to be honest. And I was trying to read through Dellinger's piece, and I know Andy Staples talked about it today, too. So what is the bill, the Tennessee bill, number 536, discussing? Because as Dellinger puts, Tennessee State Bill number 536, its details unearthed last week, paves the way for state schools, Tennessee, Vandy, Memphis, etc., and their affiliated collectives to break house settlement-related rules and prevents college sports' new enforcement entity from penalizing
Glad
those
you
schools.
Asked. Good question. So essentially what the bill does is it says no matter what the NCAA's policy is, in the state of Tennessee, you are not able to limit what a player can make on NIL.
Okay.
So essentially what it's saying is if
From the collective? Because that's correct. What they're trying to...
Correct. So NIL Go. So if NIL Go says no, there's nothing... We say no to NIL Go.
So from my understanding, someone like... Let's use Livy Dunn. I know she's not an athlete anymore in collegiate sports, but she was making millions upon millions from outside entities.
Right. As an influencer, yes.
Right. I not think necessarily most of- the LSU collective. The LSU collective, I'm sure she was getting paid something from them, but I imagine the bulk of her money was coming from, you know,
you could talk me into the LSU's collective is like... I mean, I guess maybe...
They might not even pay her anything.
Yeah, you could talk me into all... I think all of Livy Dunn's money would have been signed, sealed, delivered, A-OK.
Okay, so that... So for my to sum this up just a little bit, what the House rule is saying is it's trying to restrict what the collective can pay. We're trying to put restrictions on that, right?
Correct.
And that's where we got the $20 million.
Did you read last week when Ross wrote at... ACC spring meetings, they did kind of a trial audit, and of the NIL deals, I think it was 70% of the corporate deals and 90% of the deals from collectives. So 70% of the corporate deals would have been approved. More on that in a second. And 90% of the collective deals would have been flagged, because I think that's the other thing that people have forgotten. I don't think this clearinghouse has the ability to say that deal's void, but they flag it, and then I guess they're turning it into the teacher and expecting the teacher, the principal, to make some rulings. But I don't really understand what they are actually doing. But what this is to me is this is the schools really trying to, because the schools are the ones pushing the House settlement. This is trying to come up with guardrails, I guess, because they're reading the room and they've realized what anyone with a brain realized, that eventually when you hit up the same people over and over and over again and over again for more money, more money, more money, these people are done giving more money. And so what they're trying to do is cap it. I don't understand how this agreement is even legal. But they're combating that by saying, well, we're making you sign with a gun held to your head. You can't sue us.
In some kind of way, doesn't the SEC kind of already do that? Like, we've already seen with some of these other, you know, like players who have been going through the courts.
The difference would be, this would be the schools agreeing, like, because obviously, I hope everybody's sitting down for this. I think the University of Tennessee might have played a part in some of this legislature.
Shocking.
The University of Tennessee is an unfair statement.
State universities in Tennessee.
No. People in the Tennessee Collective.
Ah.
Or people that fund the Tennessee Collective, I think, played a non-zero role in some of this legislation.
Mm-hmm.
But to me, the larger point here is they're just grasping at anything to save this. And it's like, okay, even if they agree to this, it just takes one person suing them to blow the whole thing up. Like, the only thing that I would accept as I want to believe these people are not being entirely idiotic, because I don't think Greg Sankey's an idiot. I don't think Tony Petitti is an idiot. The only thing that would make me feel...
Are we talking commissioners? Because can correct. I throw Manfred in there? Or is that...
Yeah, Manfred's an idiot.
Okay,
well,
I'm sorry.
We've known.
And he doesn't like his sport, which should be a prerequisite for being a commissioner. The only satisfactory answer I would take is, well, it was a trial balloon. Because if indeed this is the path they're going down, Tim, if this is their answer to everything, start the doomsday clock.
Look, we talked about it. I mean, even from where we're at right now, I'm getting fired up, you know, over
You're digging back into schedules.
Right.
You're,
it's
yeah.
like we're 100 days away from week zero, or week one, excuse me. We're less than 100 days away from week zero. I may have had a college coach reach out to me yesterday and have it. She's like, hey, man, you should bring your show out here for our first game. I was like, hell yeah.
Camp Confidential?
But this stuff, look, you know where I stand on it. And I'm, you know, the funny thing is the team that I cheer for, Notre Dame, early on in the NIL process, I thought, ugh, this might not be good. And now here we are a handful of years in, and they've never been more stable and on the level of maybe winning a national championship that they haven't been that close to since Lou Holtz. And I'm just kind of like, I just don't want to hear about it. Like, figure it out. Like,
I think that's the problem, though. I don't think they can.
I know. And that's and when it's the wild, wild west and everything out, it's, I don't know how this gets, it just feels like every single day something new comes out to make it messier. And look, I don't disagree with, I don't know all the specifics to the Tennessee bill, but it sounds like, no, we should be able to pay them whenever we want to pay them. You can't legislate that. And that's the problem when you don't have someone overseeing the sport.
Like we don't have a central authority figure.
Right. We've always known as we've gone this way, for a while we tried to pretend, you know, well, it was all these, the student athlete. Well, you can't pay the student athlete. And then it was, yeah, but they're bringing in all this money. And then we tried to, you know, consider everything under one roof. And as, you know, someone who played college sports at a much lower level in the D3 ranks, yeah, we were all under one roof at Muhlenberg College in the Division III ranks. But it's a different world in D1. It's a different world in football and basketball. Like, they have to be separated. They have to have someone governing those bodies, specifically football. So I just don't know, as this continues to litigate itself, I don't know how it plays out cleanly. And it feels like the Tennessee bill that has been signed, or is it a law? Whatever it is.
It is a law now.
It's a law. This is just the first of a many, I feel like.
Yes. I mean, almost all these states have either bills or laws in place, or they're in process. Because nobody's going to do a competitive advantage. Or nobody wants to be at a competitive disadvantage. I think the other thing, though, is I still go back to this. I think it's probably likely Deloitte comes up with most of these corporate companies that are offering NIL deals. They've got bigger fish to fry. And so I would imagine they're not just going to throw out, you know, gobs of money. So I get most of these passing. I'd also like to know this. How many of those companies does Deloitte do the accounting for? Of course they're going to sign off on the ones that they are in business with. How's that not an issue? And then furthermore, I just do not see, the courts have clearly stipulated, whether or not you and I agree that Arch Manning is worth $15 million, it doesn't matter. Somebody's paying it.
Well, it's like, on a much lower level, because there is a salary cap, but it's sort of like the discussions we're having right now. Does Brock Purdy deserve all this money? Probably not. But guess what? He's a quarterback in the NFL, and what are you going to do?
Well, I told George this yesterday. Jason Cole, a longtime NFL writer, Hall of Fame voter, he changed my thinking on this. Because your first cut is, man, that's a lot of money. But if you take it like this, if they franchise him this year.
The Kirk Cousins, you mean?
Correct. So if you franchise him, what, the first time it's...
It's the average of the top five salaries, yeah.
Okay. And so then next year it becomes the, and you franchise him again, it becomes top three.
Something like that.
And then I think if you franchise him again after that, I think it's either the highest or there's like a multiplier.
You basically can't franchise a player 3 years in a row.
Correct. But his whole point was, when you average it out, it's about $54, $55 million.
Right.
And so he got 53.
And he's not the highest paid quarterback in the league. And he's, you know, what he's, I think he was seventh or eighth.
Like, yeah, I think he was tied with Goff.
And like, yeah, in 2 or 3 years, he'll probably be 11th or 12th, right?
Well, I mean, that was my point yesterday. Everyone that was rolling their eyes when the Bucs committed to Baker, how good does that deal look right now?
Yeah, if you can find a way to pay a competent quarterback like $25 million or whatever, what's Baker making?
33.
30? Okay.
But Baker's now like bottom 10 of starters.
Right. And he's definitely, I don't know, his top half of the league quarterback.
Well, I mean, like when you think about it like this.
And that's why so many teams, and that's why you look at Washington, to a lesser extent, Chicago. What are these teams doing right now? They're going nuts. They're trying to figure it out, right? We got a cheap quarterback. Let's go trade for Deebo Samuel. Let's go make these moves, because it's kind of your initial window is to try to win now with a cheap quarterback, right?
Well, I'm glad you brought that up, because then the other thing I was thinking about is on kind of the what are we doing here. I'm very fascinated by the way NBA teams are trying to build rosters right now. And if your example is, well, just look at what OKC did. It's like, I think that's an exception. I'm not here for that. Like,
that's a 7+ year plan from Presti.
Right. And then on top of that, how many teams out there realistically can have two of their top four guys be on rookie deals? But what it did have me thinking is the big three dead? So I throw out, there's two teams that I throw out. I throw out Oklahoma City for the reasons we just mentioned, and I also throw out Boston, and who knows what Boston's future is, but Boston this year, they had an owner that was basically like, we want a title, I don't care, I'm doing whatever it takes to keep it, salary cap be damned, like, we're just doing it. That's not a realistic outcome either. But what you're starting to see is the teams that have paid three guys, they're really struggling. And I thought this was interesting. Of the top 20 highest paid players, do you know how many are still remaining in the finals or in the playoffs?
Top 20?
Yep.
The way you phrased it, I'm going to say zero.
There are actually two. Cat.
I was going to say Cat is going to be.
Did SGA get his money yet?
SGA's got his money, but SGA's like around like job. They're like 39, so that puts them somewhere in like the mid-20s.
Because didn't SGA, well, SGA can't make like a Supermax from OKC because he was drafted by the Clippers. And that was a trade.
Hold on. It's Cat. I think it's Randall. No, I'm sorry. It's Cat and Gobert. It's Cat and Gobert.
Yes, okay.
So my computer just started a new update as we were talking. So,
nice.
I was having to do it from memory. So it's two of the top 20. If you look at total salaries, the Timberwolves and the Knicks are top five at 2 and 4, respectively. And the Pacers are 22 and the Thunder are 25. I also say set aside the Thunder for the obvious reason.
Give them a year.
But to me, what it seems like is if we are actually getting to this era where it is the ultimate war of attrition, if depth is what's going to matter, I don't think it matters anymore if your three best players are the best players in a series. If you don't have 1 through 8 being better, I don't know if you can get through it.
I mean, you look at the Lakers, and I wouldn't call them having a big three, but essentially they had three players that they relied on in the playoffs, and it was LeBron, it was Luka, and it was Austin Reeves. And now the thought process is, all right, we got to trade Austin Reeves.
Yep.
Because we need more frontline help. And
or just any frontline.
Right, or any frontline. And I know that, you know, they tried to right a wrong at the deadline that didn't go right. I mean, Boston, their roster construction last year for the championship was pretty remarkable, because your two studs, in air quotes, Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, but then you had Derek White and Drew Holiday, who were really good role players, two Olympians, and then you had Kristaps Porzingis. You've got Peyton Pritchard coming off the bench. So, yeah, to your point, you need this depth, you know, that maybe we didn't have. And even if you think back to the first go of it for the Big Three, they still made the NBA Finals, and it was a meltdown in the championship to the Mavericks, but the 12 and 13 teams were significantly better when they were able to bring in, you know, Ray Allen. They were able to bring in, I don't remember if Shane Battier was on the 2011 team, but he was definitely on the 12 and 13. Like, they brought in these cheaper role players. But yeah, nowadays, if you look at the construction of the Pacers, I mean, they have one star in Ty Halliburton, who they traded for, and a lot of other role pieces that they've, you know, acquired via trade, or they've just hit on. I mean, if the Pacers end up winning the East, that's a pretty insane job by this organization. Well, in a market that is not desirable for free agents, they went out and they were able to get kind of the piece that so many people had talked about for years, which was Pascal Siakam. And they're like, we'll go get him. And they paid up and they got him. Miles Turner was a guy they drafted. Tyrese Halliburton they traded for via Sabonis. You know, Aaron Nesmith was drafted by the Celtics.
When did Steph sign his Supermax? George, you know that? I'm trying to look it up.
Let me.
So 2017. All right, so Steph would qualify. I was also thinking about this. How many guys have won the championship on the Supermax?
Was 17. That was pre-current CBA, right? Was that old Supermax?
So his was 201.
201 for five. That puts it at around, what, 40?
Because Embiid is obviously no.
Yep.
Giannis signed
it in 2020. No, he signed it in 2020. So they won it at the year after he signed it.
Okay, when did Jokic sign his?
Was that after last season?
Let's see. Did Brown sign his Jokic last summer or the summer before?
Jokic signed his in 22.
So that would mean he won his on the Supermax.
Jaylen Brown got his in July of 23.
So they won it after he signed his Supermax too. But did it kick in?
That's the other question. So
because these Supermaxes just tack on to the back end of their current deal, I don't think any of these were actually under the Supermax if it's the next season.
Can you look up what was Steph's salary in 22?
Yes, give me just a second.
Because that's the other thing. I believe this iteration of the CBA goes into effect in 23, correct?
You are looking for Steph Curry's cap hit in 2022?
We're just overall, yeah.
In 22-23, Steph's cap hit was 48 mil.
Okay, that would qualify.
Yes. That's,
and then look at what Jokic was paid in 23, the 22-23 season. Right? That's when the Nuggets win? Nuggets win. So going backwards, Boston wins in 24, Denver wins in 23, Warriors win in 22, Bucks in 21, and then
Lakers
bubble championship.
So we're looking for 22-23 or 23-24 for Jokic?
22-23.
I don't have that. What deal would that have been on? That would have been on his average salary on that contract was 29.5.
I'm telling you, man, I think that's the I understand why you have to do it. But I really think, man, the Supermax just limits so much. And it's like, I thought this was interesting too. I don't know how much, are you a believer in Hollinger's PER stat?
Yeah.
Okay. I thought this was fascinating. In the playoffs, of the top 10 PERs in the playoffs, two remain. Of the top 15, three remain. Of the top 20, only four remain. And so what I really think it is we have been so conditioned that basketball is star-driven, 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 star-driven. And I'm not saying that's wrong, but I do wonder in this era if you're better off having, you know, eight guys, or maybe it's like you have a big two and then fill it in with six guys.
I think that's the way to go. I think it's the big two. I think we've gone from the big three down to the big two. And, you know, I don't know who the big two is in Oklahoma City. Is that just, as you kind of mentioned already, are they the anomaly, right? You've got one superstar in SGA, and then you've got a really bunch of good other pieces.
I kind of put them aside because of their financial ability. What they are is, I mean, their 1 through 9 is pretty insane. They're actually kind of the cheap version of what Boston was last year.
If we're looking at just a like essentially a that type of construction, does that in a way set the Knicks aside as well?
So the Knicks
because
also have
an interesting
the
one.
Knicks have a break too because Brunson
took it.
But Brunson's deal does kick in next year.
But even then he still took
it's $46 million.
Gosh.
Like they're gonna have to make some choices. It's kind of the other thing. It's like it's where I always push back on the narrative of they're young, they'll get there again. Until the CBA changes, because essentially what they've done is they've created a hard salary cap for really the first time in NBA history. They don't call it that, but that's what it is. Because of that, you better take advantage when you've got the guys that you're counting on their cheap deal, as you were pointing out with what the Bears are doing, going bananas, trying to build around Fields.
Williams.
I'm sorry, Caleb Williams, not Fields.
Thank you.
Once you have to start paying everybody, you start killing your depth. And like I think Denver's probably here, not necessarily because they've paid Jokic, but Denver's also here because they got emotional and paid Michael Porter Jr.
Well,
and Porter was good that playoffs, but Porter still had the back then.
And I think too, if you go. You dive into it a little bit more, and there's a reason why Calvin Booth got fired, right?
Yes.
He did a very bad job, and they traded, I don't know all the pick situation for the Denver Nuggets, but they traded some future picks to get some first-round picks, thinking that the Julian Strothers and the Jalen Picketts and these veteran college players that you can get in the back end of the first round would be kind of those role players more quickly.
And to be clear, that's kind of what the Grizzlies are doing.
And like, I understand to an extent part of it, right? Why you're doing that. And by the way, I mean, look, you look at the Grizzlies roster this year and, you know, take for it what you will, but you look at first team all rookie NBA, they had two of them, right?
Yep.
And Wells and Edie. So I didn't hate it at the time, but it backfired. And now the Nuggets are going to be in a lot of trouble here, and you've got the greatest player on planet Earth.
Second best.
Who's your number one?
Jokic.
No, I'm saying.
Oh, I thought you said the Bucks.
No, Denver.
Sorry, yeah, Denver.
Oh,
yeah.
Maybe I did say Milwaukee. Milwaukee's in the same boat, too.
Yeah.
And they went all
they don't
in,
have draft picks.
And no, Milwaukee's in a lot of trouble, and that's why, you know, people
there is
in Milwaukee don't want
to hear. There is a basketball case to trading Giannis.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
All right, we got to take a break. When we come back, we've got AAC win totals. We'll take a look at where the Tigers come in there, and we'll talk college football quarterback rankings. We'll do that next right here on Jeff Wright & Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
MLB.TV is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand.
He got it! Woo! This is unbelievable!
Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network. Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out!
Every home run.
Gone!
Everything baseball. All season long on MLB.TV. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, Tim. You've mentioned it over at DraftKings. We got our G5 win totals. I believe, if I recall correctly, Memphis came in at 8.5.
Yep.
And I believe your other note was the only G5 with a win total higher than 8.5 was Boise at 9.5.
That is correct. Boise State is the highest win total for a group of five team. There are six G5 teams at 8.5. Now, juice varies. Some are favored to go over, some are favored to go under. But the six that are in 8.5 territory, Memphis, Tulane, Navy, three AAC teams. Then there's Liberty, UNLV, and Toledo as the other three. So those are the six G5 programs with win totals of 8.5. And if you're wondering, Memphis, it is plus money to the over. So it is shaded under, meaning the under is the favorite to come home for the Memphis Tigers this year at minus 150.
And obviously the quarterback situation for the Tigers, Brendan Lewis, who last was at Nevada.
Yeah.
He actually, like, that team went from being unwatchable and competent to scrappy bad.
They did. Yeah. They had some games.
They covered against SMU, which was annoying.
Yeah. That was I thought, cuz coming into the year it was like, "Oh my god, Nevada's going to be one of those just dreadfully
just like god awful teams."
And they were okay, not like
they were functional.
Yeah. They finished up 3-10 and went winless in conference play. But they, if you watch their games, like, they were competitive against Boise State on the Smurf turf. They They were competitive against Fresno State. So they had some games where it was like, and you mentioned SMU to open up the season. They were pretty, you know, decent in. So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, you tell me, because I was just thinking about it from a G5 standpoint, and if you just want to isolate it on the AAC, I don't know who the best G5 quarterback is coming into the year. I guess by default, you'd say Maddox Madsen from Boise State, but, I mean, he's fine. But I would probably go Horvath from Navy as probably who will be the most productive quarterback in the G5 ranks.
All right, I'm trying to – so Mensah goes to Duke.
He would have been the best. He left.
Are they going with Thompson, the Oregon transfer? Or did they
Ty Thompson.
Did they – or did Navy – Did Tulane pick up – I feel like they picked up another one.
They did. I think Ty Thompson's the favorite probably to win, but the other quarterback is
– They picked up
– I thought I remember them getting someone else in the portal.
I thought they had Ty Thompson. He's not listed on there.
Cade Scott
is
from today.
You know what? Maybe I'm
class from Kentucky.
You know what I'm doing? I think they were rumored to get in on the Nico sweepstakes.
They were. Yeah, a lot of people thought that was going to happen.
So I think they're still going with Ty Thompson.
I mean, they got a. I'm looking at their roster right now. It looks like they had a Ball State transfer.
It says right now, our lads,
Donovan Leary.
Our lads is showing Caden Simonza.
That's the kid. It was
at Ball State.
Yeah, so there's just a lot of uncertainty. I mean, you think back to.
I think you're right. I think Blake Horvath's the best. The problem with Blake is it's such a system thing, but he's really good at it.
He is good. He can throw too, like for a Navy
quarterback. Enough.
Yeah. I mean, Navy. I'll say this for their win total, it's 8.5, and I think it's juiced over. I mean, this is a team that, look, I mean, say what you will about this, but like, there's a reason NBC put Navy in primetime against Notre Dame. Like, yes, they want more Notre Dame games in primetime, which is case in point number one. But when you looked at the schedule, Navy's probably going to be pretty good. Like,
so Navy. If we are in agreement that the odds are correct, that the four best AAC teams are Tulane, Memphis, Army, and Navy.
Mm-hmm.
So Navy plays at Memphis on November 27th.
So that's
the last home game.
Is that Black Friday?
That is, yes. That's
Thanksgiving.
It's Thanksgiving. It's Thanksgiving.
Yeah, that's right. Thanksgiving Day. That's right.
They avoid Tulane. So their league schedule is UAB at home, at Tulsa, Rice at home, at Temple, FAU at home, at North Texas, South Florida at home, at Memphis. And then Memphis will play Tulane
and
Navy.
Army doesn't count conference play.
Army doesn't count. And then Memphis will play Tulane and Navy, but they don't play Army. And then Tulane will get Army and Memphis, but no Navy. I don't really know if they're. I don't know if I'd favor the schedule one way or the other.
Yeah. I mean, I'll say this. Looking at Navy's schedule and not having done a deep dive yet on a lot of these teams, I mean, I think they'll be a betting favorite in every game going into Notre Dame. I mean, there's a good chance they're undefeated heading into that game.
VMI, obviously. UAB, obviously. Tulsa, obviously.
Rice. Home.
Air Force
at home.
At Temple. FAU. Who did FAU hire? They fired Herman, right?
Yeah.
I want to say they
Zach
went...
Zach Kittley.
Yeah, they went super young coordinator, right?
Yeah, Texas Tech boy genius. He was He was Bailey Zappi's guy.
I kind of wanted them to take Weiss Jr. back, but...
Yeah, Ole Miss fans are very down on Charlie Weiss Jr. I just don't know. I never know how much to blame an Ole Miss offensive coordinator when Lane Kiffin's the head coach. Like, I don't know who's... I think Charlie's calling plays, but it certainly looks like a lot of times Lane's checking off.
Probably.
Is South Florida, are they going to finally do it?
I mean, they got Byron Brown, who you could argue is okay for G5.
Nobody's gotten more mileage from a couple of Alabama farting around games like Byron Brown. So do you have the G5 teams to make the playoff? Do we have those odds yet?
We don't have playoff odds yet. Yeah, I was hoping we would, but we do not.
I mean, if they're fourth in their league, they're at best going to be fifth because we know Boise's clearly going to be ahead of them.
And UNLV's 8.5 wins. So you would think UNLV, even though, I mean, I don't know about UNLV this year. Yeah, you bring in
Mullen,
and you bring in, I mean, their starting quarterback's going to be, I think, Alex Orton.
By the way, do we know what happened to Zach Arnett? Zach was announced as their defensive coordinator, and then all of a sudden.
I think he had family stuff.
Okay. That was just.
Personal reasons is why he resigned.
That was just weird. Like, I didn't know. It was. I guess that didn't light up the Vegas radio.
No.
What happened to the UNLV?
I don't.
DC?
I also don't listen to Vegas radio.
You just do radio in Vegas?
My show is a national
originates.
Show.
Thing. It originates Thank in Vegas. You very Thank much. You. Yeah. Yes, of
it's
course.
It's not like folks in ESPN are piped into the Hartford scene, you know?
I mean, they might. Orlovsky's a UConn guy.
Hey, there you go.
I mean,
Memphis's schedule, you tell me. You got the Mighty Mox week one, and then it's at Georgia State and at Troy.
Those are kind of weird. Those are weird.
The Troy game gives me like the heebie-jeebies because we talked about
Georgia
the Arkansas
State's also
spot.
Georgia State's not terrible.
So the Sun Belt odds.
Never forget, Georgia State got Diego last year.
Georgia State has the worst odds in the Sun Belt. They are 50-1.
It's a bad job. I mean, literally, their head coach left in after spring to go be an offensive line coach.
And then Troy is kind of middle of the pack. And that's my guy, Jared Parker, who I think will probably slam that pride-driven program into the ground.
And it's like, it looks like Gerard, but it's Jared.
I believe it's Jared Parker.
Yeah. Troy's also like, he used to look.
But it's one of those weird spots, right? We talked about the Arkansas spot for Memphis. The next week, you're at home, you're facing an SEC team, going to be all geeked up for that. And now you got to go on the road in this weird spot against Troy.
Now, you will be favored in all three.
Yes, you will be.
Then you'll be a dog against Arkansas somewhere probably, 7-10 range?
Hopefully.
Would be my guess. You just don't want to see a four?
Well, it's like we were talking about it yesterday on my show. I actually mentioned on my podcast today. So week zero, Stanford goes to Hawaii. And me and my co-host were like, man, give me something between – give me like a 4.5. 2.5. I'm like, damn it. Stanford might be an absolute disaster. I don't know how they're going to be any good. I mean, they sucked last year, and then they lost their two quarterbacks. They lost anyone with talent. IU Manor, their top wide receivers, drafted in the fourth round. The kid David Bailey, who's like a stud edge rusher, he went in the portal in the spring. He went to Texas Tech. They lost their second leading receiver, Emmett Mosley, the fifth, to Texas. They lost, I think, their fourth leading receiver to Arkansas.
Well,
their starting quarterback is either going to be Ben Gulbranson, who has played college football for like 57 years at Oregon State and was never the full-time starter there, or the kid who started a couple games for UCF last year, and Scott Frost came to town and was like, yeah, you're gone.
Yeah, no, thank you. I mean, I just don't know. Like, does Stanford want to play football anymore?
I don't know, man.
Like, hey, at least they got the video of Andrew Luck running inside drill during spring.
I mean, look, those teams, when Harbaugh was there at the end, and then for a good, 7 years after that with Shaw, dude, those teams were legit. Like, tough nose, smart, you know.
Yeah,
remember,
I mean,
they were the team that beat Oregon.
They had NFL players.
I know.
They don't have NFL players anymore.
Right. And, yeah, so I'm hoping the boys on the island can knock off Hawaii there, but I was hoping for a better number.
You were hoping for a better
number. Hope for beating Stanford, excuse me.
All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll get into that quarterback rankings as well as get into a little bit other news. We still got to talk what we think of the conference finals starting in the NBA. We'll do all that during hour number two. Stick around. This is Jeff Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Anyone who loves playing baseball or softball knows that one of the first steps in that journey is breaking in your first glove. It's where your love of the game began. Where does your child's baseball or softball journey begin? Go to playball.org to get started. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.